Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Have you ever wanted to get close to someone, like real close? Maybe it was someone you started to have feelings for, or maybe it was some celebrity. You saw this person in the airport or at a restaurant, and you're like, man, maybe I could go up and get a picture with them. Or maybe it was your favorite band at a concert, and you were like, how close can I get to the stage? Or maybe you were sitting in one of these seats, and you saw me up on stage and all this sexiness, and you were like, how close can I get to him? Maybe not. One time I asked this group of people, I said, have you ever met a celebrity or at least gotten close to one? And we went around the circle. My wife said, yeah, I saw Bruce Smith up close. Well, Bruce Smith at the time was one of the best players in the NFL. He's like 6'4", 300 and something. Just this huge guy. And I was like, cool. I said, where did you see him? She said, at the mall. I said, that's cool. And I was about to move on. But then I thought, how in the world did she even know it was Bruce Smith? She doesn't like football. So I asked her, I said, how did you know it was Bruce Smith? And she said, well, he was wearing his jersey. So what do you mean? She said, he was walking in the mall and he was wearing his jersey. I said, he was wearing a Bills jersey with Bruce Smith on the back? And she said, yeah. I said, was he like this really big African-American guy? And she's like, no, not really. I said, do you know that they sell jerseys with people's name on it? Like anybody can wear a jersey with Bruce Smith on the back? And she was like, really? Turns out she did not meet Bruce Smith. But what about you? Have you ever wanted to get close to someone, like real close? How about this? Have you ever wanted to get close to God? Maybe most of your life you've known God or at least known about God, but you've always felt like there was this distance. There had to be more. You've never felt as close as you'd like to be, and you want to get real close. Or maybe you've never known about God, you want to. You want to get close and see who he really is and what he's really like. But maybe that scares you. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today as we conclude our series, Phobia, Phobia. We've been looking at stories in the Bible where people who are with Jesus were afraid. And we've been learning that when you're with Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. Today, I want to show you a story we find in Mark chapter 9, where Jesus takes three friends up a mountain. And so here's the story. It's in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. Then he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. So Jesus and three of his closest friends go on this hike up a mountain. They're hiking, finally get to the top. They're up there hanging out when Jesus begins to change. His clothes become so white, they're almost blinding. His facial expression's different. And the three friends are probably a little afraid, but then it gets really weird. Two other guys appear out of nowhere, two guys who have been dead for a long time, Moses and Elijah. And they're all like, yo, Jesus, what up? So let me fill you in on who these guys are and what's happening. So there's Moses. Moses was the leader of God's people a long time ago, and he was the guy who received the Ten Commandments from God. God had given Moses the rules he wanted people to live by, and so Moses was, in effect, the lawgiver. Then there's Elijah. Elijah was also an important person from back in the Old Testament times. Elijah was a prophet. The prophets were people that God would speak to, and he'd give a message that they could share with the people. So Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, which is basically what the entire Old Testament is made up of. And then we have Jesus. At one time, Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. The purpose of the law was to keep people from straying away from God, but it wasn't enough to do that. And the purpose of the prophets was to guide people to God, but they weren't enough to do that. But Jesus comes along to fulfill these two purposes, and he's able to do both. So up on the mountain, we have Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, and Jesus who fulfilled both. It's this amazing moment, and then Peter opens his mouth and ruins it, starting in verse 5. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Why did Peter speak? Well, it said because he was afraid. Have you ever had a time when you were afraid and you didn't know what to say, and so you just started blabbing? Like the first thing that came to mind came out of your mouth. Peter opens his mouth, which if you know Peter, it was very common for him, and he says, "Let's put up three shelters for you." What in the world did he mean by that? What was he thinking? We don't know. We're not sure, but there are two theories. I don't think they can both be right, but probably one of them is. And what's interesting is the two theories represent two common attitudes of people today. They represent two attitudes people have about getting close to God. In fact, I'd guess that probably everyone has one of these attitudes. I'll tell you the first theory, but you need a little background to understand it. Centuries prior to this event, we read in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament that God came down on Mount Sinai in a cloud. The voice of God spoke out of the cloud, and everyone was afraid. So Moses went to the top of the mountain, and he begged to see God's glory. He wanted to get close to God. He wanted to see God up close. God responded in Exodus 33. He said, "When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by, but my face cannot be seen. No one may see me and live." Moses wasn't able to see God's glory directly. He couldn't get that close to God. Why? Because Moses was sinful, like we all are, and God is holy. The Bible says that sin cannot exist in the presence of God's holiness. Almost like God's holiness is a fire and sin is like kindling. Sin, sinful things, cannot exist in the presence of God. If Moses looked at God, he would die. It's like God was saying there's an infinite gap between God and humanity. Like humans can't take the reality of God. They can't endure the presence of his glory. Being in the presence of his holiness would destroy a human. So Moses wants to be close, but no, he can't get that close because he's sinful. But God loved Moses. And so he says, "Hey, I'm going to get you as close as you can." And so Moses can't look directly at God, but even getting near to God was enough to make Moses' face shine. In the story, we see that when he came down from the mountain, the Bible says that he was glowing from being in God's presence. He was glowing with the reflected glory of God. In fact, after this happened, the Hebrews built a tabernacle. The tabernacle was like a portable room, almost like a tent. And if God wanted to come down, that's where he was supposed to go. The tabernacle was the place where Moses and then later the priest would go to meet with God. That way God could come down and do what God needed to do without everyone being exposed to him and without anyone getting too close, because the people knew to get close to God was to die because they were sinful and he was holy. So we keep the holiness, the glory, the presence of God contained in this tabernacle, and that keeps the rest of us safe. Well, that was way back towards the beginning of the Old Testament of the Bible. God came down the mountain. Moses went up. Moses wanted to get close to God, but found out he couldn't. If he did, he would die. Now, here we are in Mark chapter 9. Centuries later, we're on top of another mountain, and there's glory again. Jesus is glowing with the glory of God. Again, there's a mountain. Again, there's a cloud. Again, there's a voice from the cloud. It's just like Mount Sinai again, with one unbelievably important difference. Peter, James, and John are in the presence of God because Jesus is God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Peter, James, and John are in the presence of God. They're seeing the glory of God. And I think that's what makes Peter so afraid. And maybe it's why he said what he said, which is the basis of theory number one. The word translated shelters here, that he says, let's build shelters, is actually the Greek word for tabernacle. Peter looks around at these two spiritual heroes, Moses and Elijah, and at Jesus, who is shining with the glory of God, and he says, I think we need some tabernacles. Why does he say it? Well, maybe because he knows tabernacles are how you stay away from the presence of God. It's how you make sure you don't get too close to God, because if you do, you might die. I said each of the two theories represents a common attitude today, and I wonder if maybe this is you. I wonder if you're afraid of getting too close to God. Maybe you feel like you've just sinned too much. In fact, you're a little nervous about being here today in church. Or maybe you're watching online today because you feel like you can't go to church. Do you feel like you're just too sinful and God is just too holy? Maybe something inside of you wants to get close to him, but you feel like you can't. Well, that might have been what Peter was thinking, which is the first theory, that he was like, man, God's glory is here. We need to bottle up everything that's holy so we don't get too close to it because we're sinful. So let's build some tabernacles. But if so, then there's something Peter isn't realizing, because he and James and John are in the presence of God. They're seeing the glory of God, but they don't die. How is that possible? Remember, the reason God told Moses he couldn't see him and live is because there's too big a gap between holy God and sinful humanity. And remember, in this story, immediately after Peter says, let's build three tabernacles, God says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And then when Peter looked around, Moses was gone, Elijah was gone, no one was there except Jesus. And I think that was God's way of saying, Jesus is able to give you what Moses couldn't give you, what Elijah couldn't. You couldn't get close to God through the law of Moses. You couldn't get close to God through the prophets like Elijah, but Jesus is able to give you what they couldn't. Jesus has bridged the gap. Finally, we have a way to get close to God. Finally, we can live in God's presence. Finally, we can have a relationship with God. Finally, we have a way to get to heaven, into heaven when we die. Jesus bridged the gap between sinful people and holy God. And so guess what? Listen, you can come to church and lightning won't strike. You can pray without feeling like you're too dirty to talk to God. You can die and go to heaven because your sin has been removed through Jesus, through you putting your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. That's why we take communion each week at our church. It's a way that we remember, I can come into the presence of God and not die. And I owe all of it to what Jesus did for me when he died on the cross. So, theory one, Peter was afraid of the presence of God. And he said, let's make three shelters to avoid being too close to God. And you may feel like that too, but you don't need to anymore. Jesus takes away that fear. Okay, so here's theory two, and it's kind of the opposite. Again, we don't know for sure why Peter said what he did. We're just guessing here, right? Theory two is that Peter was not saying, let's stay away from the presence of God. Instead, maybe he was saying, let's stay in the presence of God. Remember, they had been up on this nice hike up a mountain. They got to the top. Suddenly, Jesus starts glowing. Peter is standing in the presence of the glory of God, and he's not dead. And then two spiritual heroes, Moses and Elijah, they show up. This is unbelievable. And I think deep inside, we all want to get close to God. Well, Peter is there. I asked you earlier if you've ever wanted to get close to someone or something. Here's a different question. Have you ever actually done it? You know, there's something about being close, experiencing something firsthand, intimately, that is totally different and better than just hearing about it. I mean, it's one thing to be told that this famous person's incredibly attractive. It's another to get up close and be like, oh, yeah, wow, what happened? Well, you actually experience what you only before knew to be true. Or I've watched some of Gordon Ramsay's cooking shows on TV. One year, my wife and I were given a gift card to go to one of his restaurants here in Vegas for our anniversary, and I knew it would be good. I've watched the TV show. I knew it. But man, when I took a bite out of that ribeye, oh, wow, unbelievable. It's one thing to know it. It's another to experience it. And that can happen with God. You may know about God, about his glory, but when you actually experience it, wow. And that's what's supposed to happen when we stand in these rows and we worship, when we sing songs to God, that we would be transported from knowing just about God and his glory to actually experiencing it. The idea when we stand here and sing is that we eliminate everything else. With God's help, we forget everything else that's on our minds. We eliminate distractions and we just focus on God. We seek to experience his glory. When we worship, we are seeking together to enter into the presence of God. And that's why I hope so much when you stand in these rows and you sing that you can forget about what's coming up later in the day, that you can ignore your phone or just turn it off, and you can not talk to the person next to you, not use worship as a chance to go to the bathroom, and that you wouldn't just stand here and just mouth the words, that you would focus your thoughts on God, and like Moses on the mountain, you would beg God to see his glory. And like Peter on the mountain, you would actually experience it. And when you do, it's amazing. It's this incredible feeling. It's like you are being brought outside of this life and into the reality of God. Wow. And that's what Peter was experiencing. So maybe he wasn't trying to stay away from the presence of God. Maybe he was trying to stay in the presence of God. Maybe he said, let's build three shelters, because he wanted to give Moses and Elijah and Jesus a place to stay, because he didn't want to leave the mountain. He just wanted to stay in the presence of God. Now, I said earlier that each of these two theories represents a common attitude people have today. So I wonder if this is you. I wonder if you just want to stay in the presence of God. Like, man, it's so awesome being here at church. Everyone is kind to each other. We love each other. We get to worship God together. And so, like, why do we have to leave? Let's just stay here. Maybe that's how you feel, and maybe that's what Peter meant. Maybe he meant, let's just stay up here on the mountaintop in the presence of God. But no, you can't stay up on the mountain in the presence of God, and you can't just stay in church, because down there is where, out there is where real life is lived. And down there, out there is where people need God. In fact, that's exactly what we're going to see happen next in the story. Jesus doesn't let them stay up on the mountain, and he doesn't let us stay here in church. So Peter, James, and John just had an incredible moment with God, but now it's time to go where people need God. So they make their way down the mountain, and look what happens next in Mark 9. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. So it's real life, right? I mean, moments ago, they're on top of the mountain. There's God's presence there. They're God's glory. They're worshiping. But now they're at the bottom of the mountain where there's hurting people and there is real life. So this guy has a son who needs help. Jesus' other nine disciples, the ones other than Peter, James, and John, think, well, hey, we've seen Jesus do this. We can do what he does. We can heal this kid. But it's not working. Check out what happens next. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Well, apparently, the disciples were trying to heal the kid without praying. And I read that and I'm like, what? How could they think they could do that without praying? But then I look at my life and all the things I've tried to do without praying, all the times I thought I could do something on my own, in my own power. And so I guess I'm kind of the same as them. So Peter, James, John, Jesus come down the mountain to see this scene. They come down having to leave the presence of God, and immediately they are greeted by someone who desperately needs God, desperately needs the touch of God. And that's why we leave church, to find people who need God, who need to be touched by God, who we can touch with the love of God. Well, James and John and Peter and Jesus, they discover that the other disciples can't do what the guy needed them to do. Why? Well, honestly, it was because the guy needs God, but they were just giving them themselves, right? Because they didn't pray. They weren't giving him God. They were giving him themselves. And so Peter, James, and John learn how, even when you come down off the mountain, even when you leave the church building, you can still continue to live in the presence of God and you can still access his power. You pray. You pray. Prayer is our portal into God's presence and to access his power. It's how we stay close to God, not just in those special moments up on the mountain, you know, here at church, but even down in the valley, even outside church, when real life is happening and there are all kinds of distractions that pull you away from God. No, you pray. Prayer isn't something that you just do before meals and before going to bed. Prayer isn't something you just do when you're in trouble and you need some help. Prayer is how you stay connected to God, living in his presence, accessing his power all the time. And really think about that. It's crazy. So like I asked you earlier if you've ever wanted to meet a celebrity or maybe actually met one. What if you met one, someone really important, powerful, famous, rich, you met them, and what if instead of just getting an autograph or a picture, this famous, important, powerful person gave you their cell phone number? What if they said, call me anytime you want. If you want to talk, I'll always be available. What if they said, and anything I have is yours. You can use anything of mine anytime, my money, my possession, anything. No way. That would be crazy, right? That would never happen. But listen, God is more famous, more important, more powerful, richer than anyone. And that's exactly what he said to you. Call me anytime, and all I have is yours. God wants to be connected to you all the time. He wants you to live in his presence and to have his power all the time. And prayer is how you do that. That's why there's all these verses in the Bible that say we should pray all the time. There's a verse in the Bible that says, pray continually. Another says, pray on all occasions. Another says, pray about everything. Prayer is our portal into God's presence. Prayer is how we stay close to him all the time. And that's really, I think, what we all want. We want to be close to God all the time. But we don't have to stay in church to do it. We can leave the mountain and bring God with us. We can leave church and bring God with us.